Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And I'm talking to you this week about the importance of prayer for the repentance and awakening of God, to God, in America. And I'm talking to you about a kind of prayer that's very, very online with God and that He has to have in these last days. And I'm talking to you about how I got maneuvered by God into this prayer ministry at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I talked to you about the people who mentored me in my life in prayer. And I talked to you yesterday about the supernatural prayer life of the person that I believe was the most, he prayed on a level past anybody I ever knew, and that's Philip Halverson. When you prayed with him, he would be praying in English. He would be praying in tongues, and then he would say English words, and you could be transported into a place, a high place. You would even hear the future. And then it would come on the news months later. And this man of God, this man of prayer who so affected us, I talked in detail about him yesterday, and I talked, we're offering this week his book. Actually, his wife wrote most of it, but it's the experiences they had together, Philip and Fern Halverson, Unseen Forces Beyond This World. We're offering it for $10 at 1-800-972-3447. You can just ask for it, or you can go online to billybrim.org. I do hope you go online and listen to all of this week as we talk about a prayer and what it means now at crisis time in America. So I talked about Brother Halverson yesterday and about his great experiences in prayer and the level upon which he operated in working with God concerning things happening in the world. I'm getting ready to move into a new house, and in moving, I came across my journals. And I'm going to read to you now from my journal, May 29, 1985. I wrote, traveling by car from Canada to Minot, North Dakota to catch a plane. Those in the car, Kathy Caseman, Sally Thwaites, Vicky Bang, Shelley Brim Oaks, and me. We had been at Kathy Caseman's Women of the Word camp in Canada. And we were driving, it was finished. We'd had a lot of supernatural things happen there. One was a witch had brought with her her little clan of witches, and they were causing a lot of trouble. I didn't know they were causing the trouble, but Sally Thwaites, when she would try to set up for the meeting and set the chairs up, and they would be there laughing at her and deriding her and blaspheming God. And then back in a corner, they would do it during the meetings, but I never could hear them. They didn't bother me. And Kathy and Sally came to my room. They said, we got to get rid of these people. We can't get rid of them. So they came and got me, and I met with them down in the cafeteria of the camp, met with the witches. And in a man's voice, the head witch said to me, I was at your meeting and so-and-so, and I was at your meeting and so-and-so. And I was right. It was named the meetings where I'd been. And I thought, this is a devil. I don't have any authority over these women, but I've got authority over the devil. And so I said, aha, I knew now where I was standing. And I said, it is written in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I said, we are not agreed and we are not walking with you, and you leave these campgrounds right now. So they left easily, like with little dogs with their tails between their legs. They crept away. And I have seen the power and authority, the authority that we have over the power of the devil. And so we were coming back from that meeting. We had great meetings there. And as we were driving back from Canada to Minot, a cloak seemed to drop over me. Now, this has happened two or three times in my life, that a cloak drops over you. You feel it fall on you. And you know, and I knew at that moment that whatever I was to open my mouth and whatever I said would come to pass. But I had no control over what I would say. And this is what it was. I'm reading to you now from my journal. On June 6th, there will be a happening, which will be a catalyst to the end time move of God. After that date, Everything will speed up. Someone in the car asked, "Is it bad or good?" I said, "I don't know." We drove on to Minot, got on a plane, flew to Denver, and then home to Tulsa. Kent, my husband, met Shelley and me late, 11 p.m. at the airport, took me to the Pryor Hospital and to my only sister, Pat's side. She was 42 years old. Kent said to me, "Brother Halverson is desperately trying to reach you." We went over to the hospital, and then this is my journal, May 30th, 1985. "Today, my sweet baby sister passed from earth to glory with me on the right side of the bed as I faced it holding her left hand, Don, her husband, holding her right hand, both of us praising God." May 30th, 1985, that night. This is from my journal. "I spoke with Brother Philip Halverson by phone for the last time, although I did not know it. I was at the lake at Mom's house. We talked a long time, Brother Halverson and I. He said, 'This attack is not against Pat. It is against you. The devil is trying to get you to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You have no idea how important it is to the Holy Spirit that you do not quit. Raise up an army of intercessors. Never forget that your number one call is to help the prayers.'" Brother Halverson said that he'd been praying for Pat's husband, Don, and of course that came to pass. He also said his prayers had been filled with praying for me. May 31st or June 1st, I don't know which this was, Brother Halverson, up in Minnesota, took Lynn Hammond out to eat and Mac, and talked to Lynn at length about what we now know was concerning his giving her certain prayer assignments. He told her never to stop praying for two people, Kenneth W. Hagin, that's Kenneth E. Hagin's son, Pastor Hagin, and Billy Brim. Brother Halverson, we discovered later, left many clues that he had known he was about to depart. Sunday, June 2nd. "I spent the night," from my journal again, "I spent the night with Mom and Dad and went to church in Pryor Sunday with Pat's husband Don and her daughters Don and Gayla. After church, we ate dinner. Then I went home with Don and his daughters. We prayed upstairs in the girls' bedroom. Don and Donna received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I drove home the 40 miles or so to Collinsville, light in heart at the victory. I walked in the kitchen door and saw Charles and Ray Standridge, our friends, sitting at the round oak table with my husband, Kent. The yellow wall phone was ringing. Kent answered it and handed it to me. The call was from the back room at Pastor Mac and Lynn Hammond's Living Word Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Pastor Mac had shared his vision for the church and asked Phil and Fern Halverson to come up and pray over it. The four prayed on the platform. A great anointing came, and they prayed with the power that Philip Halverson always prayed with. And they appeared, and Phil fell under the power, as he often did when he prayed. I'm not sure if the other three fell or not, but Phil fell and prayed and under the power, and they were all were there. And then he looked at them and smiled. I think it was mainly aimed at Firm. He closed his eyes, and the rest of them continued praying, and the musicians were worshiping and praising. And it took them some time to realize that Philip Halverson had left his body. The church was in high praise. When I was talking to them on the phone in the background, they had not yet told the congregation everything that had happened, but I heard the high praise going on in the background on the phone. Of course, Brother Halverson had gone on to be with the Lord. When Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr. heard it, he said, "What a way to go." Kenneth Wangen Hagin, or Pastor Hagin as he is known now, called me questioning this because they were going to have the Halversons teach prayer at Rhema that year. I remembered a prophecy from his father months before that many were going to start going on, that it had to do with the end times. Some were even called by the Lord. And if they were, it was for various reasons. One of those reasons was There was no further promotion for that person here on earth, and they had to be promoted. There were other reasons too, but this one is the one that I felt had to do with Brother Howerson. So then came the date that we had heard spoken of in the car. Then came June 6th. And on June 6th, we held the memorial service for this great prayer warrior, Philip Halverson, at the Living Word Church, Pastor McAlin's church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Pastor Ken Hagen did the church service, the memorial service in the church, and used the prophecy his dad had made. I spoke at the graveside. Many of us went on to Kathy Caseman's Women of the Word Camp at Painesville, Minnesota, right after that, and very supernatural things happened there. But I want to go back to the phone call that I heard from Brother Halverson. This attack is not against Pat, it is against you. The devil is trying to get you to quit. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. You have no idea how important it is to the Holy Spirit that you do not quit. Raise up an army of intercessors and never forget that your number one call is to help the prayers. He told me that his prayers had been filled with praying for me. You know, folks, I wouldn't have thought that God would choose me. I ran with those great prayers, but I wasn't a great prayer. However, I'd had a vision. Maybe you've heard me tell about it, about the gifts in the last days and the married supper, and when the gifts were unwrapped, and how the Lord showed me that the prayers had to do with it, and I was to help the prayers. And so there is an anointing on me that lets me see and witness the last days, but which has charged me with raising up. The Lord said to me, as nations raise up an air force, I am raising up a prayer force. If it were not that this prayer force was in place, and I know so many others that he's called, and they have different companies. There's IHOP, and there's prayers and prayer groups. Rhema has Miss Leanne leading prayer. And then, of course, then down in Fort Worth, there's Terry Pearson's. And, of course, in Lynn and Hammond's church, there's all kinds of prayer groups. But we have out here at Prayer Mountain, and then we have that live stream prayer. If it were not that God had this air force, this prayer force already operating, I would be discouraged about America. But I am not discouraged, because he has the prayer force in place. Will you join it? You don't have to be some great prayer like they are, but would you daily go before the Lord and do what he says to do? Pray for your leaders. Pray for the leaders of your nation. Pray that America will awaken to God, and pray that she will repent before it's too late. Be sure to order the books and things we've offered, and we will see you next week. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom.